Well, again, thank you for inviting me and us to come to bring the team with me from Selma, and then Father Dan, and then Deborah Witt, who met us here from Charlotte. I think all the times I've been here, the Witts have come to join me. So I'm very grateful. I'm really particularly grateful for the young people who came from Selma. They've worked hard. It's been an adventure for them. They're going to get some rest maybe when they get home. But God's really using them. When Bishop Mike and I talked about this again some time back, he wanted to come and just teach about, demonstrate, activate the prophetic. And so we've been doing that, and we'll do that some more again this morning. I want to really kind of leave you with a word that's just a grace word that is appropriate to moving in the prophetic or any other kind of ministry gift or in any aspect of your Christian life. That's why I said earlier Thursday that we'll talk about the prophetic specifically more Thursday, you know, Friday night, yesterday, and even this morning, but in the Sunday school hour, but I wanted to leave something with you a little bit different, but it's also applicable to prophetic stuff. So Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Let me share a few things with you, just some scriptures concerning the prophetic. One of them, well, all of them are real familiar, but one of them is Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And in Amos chapter 3, that really famous verse says this, that God does nothing on the earth, nothing, without first revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That's pretty significant. And the more we speed towards the last days, the more we see activity and chaos on the earth. And so more and more we're going to see the unfolding of the purposes of God. The seasons spiritually, a lot of times you'll hear somebody will say in a prophetic word during this season, or we're in a season where, well, the seasons are changing rapidly in the spirit realm. And it's so significant that we're hearing what God is saying through prophetic voices. And in this process of God raising up prophetic voices, one of the things we pray for, I pray for, is that they will be mature prophetic voices. We know there have been prophetic voices that have been irresponsible and immature. But it's so important that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because if we're going to run with him and be in tune with what he's doing, it's important. If he says he does nothing on the earth without first revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets, we need the prophetic voice speaking. But what we've been doing here, we'll do again today, is just releasing the prophetic ministry in your midst. Those personal words that bring exhortation, that bring consolation, that brings edification is so important. I just repeat again, in case you haven't been able to be here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, pursue love, but desire earnestly. And that's again in the present tense. And it's a command. It means God commands us to continually desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit, especially that we may prophesy. And so for me, as a Bible teacher, when I'm wanting to impart things to people prophetically, to teach them about the prophetic, it's just about coming in line with God's Word. And if we're going to move in the purposes of God, we need to do that. And again, commands, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, that you may continually, the present tense again, continually operate in the prophetic. Another scripture is in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles is an awesome chapter about Jehoshaphat and the battle against the army, the three opposing armies. Says this in verse 20. And they arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and you'll succeed. And one more. This is from 1 Timothy. This is real personal concerning our own walks with the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This command I trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies, plural, previously made concerning you, that by them, the prophecies, plural, you may fight the good fight. All of us are called to live by faith. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. And one of the ways we're able to successfully fight the good fight of faith is because of the prophetic words that are given to us. And therefore, if we aren't a prophetic church, and every church is called to be prophetic. And may that be your number one thing, Christ and Christ's likeness and his presence should always be our number one priority. But he said that wasn't just to the Corinthians, it was to all of us. Desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially when they prophesy, because they help us to fight the good fight of faith. And he goes on and says, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. It's an interesting thing that for us, many of us, we think the prophetic is really scary and dangerous. But what he says here is without the prophetic, many people have been shipwrecked in their faith because they didn't have the prophetic word by which to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Now that's not Chuck's opinion. That's what the Word of God says. So it's important for me that we take the mystery out of these things and learn to move with them. Like I said Friday night, you know, I'm looking for a radiant, radical, and responsible prophetic people. Responsible prophetic people. But radical, not afraid to go for it. And radiant with the presence of the Lord. Because everything that's of God, all the gifts of the Spirit flow out like a river from a life that's radiant with the presence of the Lord. Okay? Now we'll do some more stuff in just a few minutes. Let me, as a matter of fact, do this. So I'm aware. Well, see, I'm going to wander around. There's no point in me doing this, actually. I'll just trust the Lord to keep me from preaching a very long word. And he can do that. Here's what I discover about most Christians. And it's really of the devil. He loves to get us busy like this. Most Christians spend their Christian life fighting for a place, a favor, a blessing, of anointing and victory from which they can live. But that's totally backwards. What God has done from our new birth is that we're to live in a place of favor, blessing, anointing, and victory from which we fight. I've said this to you before, religion's all about demanding. Work hard to get there. Christianity is all about bestowing. You are there, so now in the power of there, you can work hard. The enemy is always trying to convince us to work really hard, to perform really hard, so we can get to a place. Christianity says you were born into a place which you now can serve him. Not serve him so you can get to a place. Live in a place that enables you to serve him. God gives what he commands. And therefore he feels free about commanding a lot. Everything that God requires of you and me, his grace is already placed in you and me. Victory isn't something we're shooting for. We're trying to earn. We were born into victory from which a place we can live. We need to come to a place, and this happens in the prophetic as we activate in a few minutes, in every part of your Christian life, whether at home, in relationship, in your job, whatever you're called to do, the life. I love, again, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's a totally new me. It's Christ living in me. And the life that I now live. So this works out in the life that you live. your particular circumstances, though they may even be extreme and hard, aren't unique. It's the life that you now live that the Christian life works. In your situation, in your circumstances, in the result of the fallen world, where you live, who you live with, where you work at, the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. That I said this morning in the Sunday school time, I love the translation because it's very faithful to the text. The life that I live in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I quoted a verse Friday night that I said was such a significant one. It's like the gospel within the gospel. The context of that verse is about giving to help Jerusalem, to help the Christians in Jerusalem who are going through a time of famine. But the way the verse is written, it covers every category, not just the financial category. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in everything, may abound to every good work." In the King James, it would be like, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to all good work." Those five alls. And the interesting thing about that verse, I'm not trying to impress you with Greek grammar, but the Holy Spirit did what he did because it was important. Every verb in that verse is in the present tense. And the present tense means it's happening right now. It's going on right now. And it goes on continually. It's a reality, not to be hoped for, to be prayed about, to be prayed for, to be prayed into reality. It's happening right now. It's kind of like 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through a person, our Lord Jesus Christ." That's again present tense. And the way, therefore, it should be translated is, "Thanks be to God who is right now giving you the victory." You may not be walking in it, but he's giving it to you right now through Christ. Thanks be to God who's given me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me translate, let me quote again, 2 Corinthians 9:8, the way it should be written, using the tenses of the verbs, emphasizing the word. The word "abound" there, that's used twice, is to be over and above, beyond, not just enough, but 12 basketful left over. More than enough. Way more than enough. As a matter of fact, in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 14, he talks about, "While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you." That God's grace isn't just enough, it surpasses anything the devil throws at you. Any need that you might have, God's grace surpasses it. So let me just quote this verse to you again, the way it should be written with the tenses. And the God of limitless ability. The word "able" there is the word dunamis. You know that word. Power. The limitless ability, the power of God. "And the God of limitless ability has," that's past tense, "has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in everything may more than enough abound in every good work," or everything you put your hand to. And the language there again is, "may abound into every good work." You can actually thrust yourself into everything God's put before you in life in confidence of the all-sufficiency of the grace of God in Christ that's yours. Now, I want to do this, and you can try to write it down. I think it's going to be on tape, because it's going to be longer. I love the different descriptions and the definitions of grace. And so some time back, I began to kind of work on this thing. Because see, when we think grace, what most believers think is something very limited. They think grace is that thing that God does when you mess up, and how he deals with us in grace. That he's not legalistic, that we don't have to be legalistic, and so is the forgiveness of God that's free and unconditional. That's limitless. But there's so much more to what grace means than that. So I'm going to read to you, because I can't even memorize this definition, because it's kind of long. And I was working on this, and a group of our clergy had a Joel Summit. And a Joel Summit, we just come together, and we cry out to God to experience all that he has, and all of his fullness. And we just get into scripture, and just share, and pray, and talk about some stuff. And we were going through every verse in the New Testament that had the word grace. And it's not a simple description, because it's so amazing, so wonderful, so big. We could keep writing. Kind of like in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. In the original language, there are no periods. It's like Paul starts talking about the surpassing grace of God, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You know, and he begins to talk about it, and he just can't stop. It's like terrible grammar. He just can't seem to put a period. Grace is like that. So here's what I want you to hear this word. The best I understand at this point, working with these guys, we kind of came up with this working definition. And it may be too long and too complicated, but it does clearly define the reality of grace. All right, you ready? So God give you ears to hear, really big ears to hear. Grace is God's limitless affection, acceptance, and ability, and activity as a free gift in the person of Christ for us, towards us, to us, in us, and through us. Covers a lot of territory. Not just unconditional acceptance, but limitless ability, limitless affection. So let me tell you this again. God's limitless affection, acceptance, ability, and activity as a free gift in the person of Christ. For us, towards us, to us, in us, and through us. In other words, grace is all that Jesus is and all that Jesus does for you and for me in a limitless way. Free. It's all in Christ. Therefore, you could actually change the words to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And the God of limitless ability has abounded all that Christ is to you. That you always having all the sufficiency of Christ in everything may abound, throw yourself into, and have life and life more abundant, no matter what it is. You hear me? The example that we use, one of my folks, because every one of them has about 14 smartphones. One of my guys have a smartphone? Hurry, hurry. Yes. No, I just want to know if you had one. No, yes, yes. That's funny. Huh? I will keep it, I promise. I remember when iPhones first came out. Now, I don't know stuff much. You with me? I don't understand these things. But when it first came out some years ago, remember all the commercials? Everybody was impressed with were the apps. Those are like the standard equipment or things you could purchase. And they would say, you'd have some guy walking through New York City and go, you want to eat the best pizza? Or you want to eat the best Russian sandwich? There's an app for that. You want to find out where to go see a play? There's an app for that. And it was over and over again. That's how iPhones sold all their phones, because the gazillion apps they offered to do all these cool stuff. That, and you could scroll it down. People would just sit there and scroll that and go, oh, that's so amazing. Grace, let's just say the iPhone is Christ. And the apps all come for free. Let's just say all the apps, every app that iPhone has, that Apple has, comes with the phone for free. It's just standard equipment. You don't have to pay any of them. They're just there. It's downloaded there. And so Christianity is like, the moment you got saved, you got Christ, and you got all that Christ is, all that Christ has, all that Christ can do for free. And so you find yourself in a situation, we've been talking about the prophetic, you find yourself in a circumstance, and we talk about desiring earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, we're going to put you to work some today, and so you're put on the spot to give a word. There's an app for that. The verse doesn't say, and the God of limitless ability has abounded some grace. That you sometimes, having some sufficiency in some things, may every now and again have an abundant of all that he is in what you do. No, it says, and the God of limitless ability has abounded all that Christ is, all grace. Whatever the category, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever the test, whatever the temptation, whatever the responsibility, whatever the stress, all grace. It covers all things in life. All is a pretty big word. So that you always having, not hoping, not wishing, not begging for, not praying for, but already always actively having all sufficiency in everything. So what are you facing? Does it come under the category of everything? Moving into gifts, does that come under the category of everything? Well, oh God, please help me, please help me. No, he's just said this, he's already abounded all grace that you always having. All sufficiency in everything may abound to every good work. Amen? I do better when you amen, because it makes me know that you can't, you're hearing me. Amen? So one of the things we have to stop doing is stop believing that he can and start trusting that he is. If you already have the all-sufficiency, so you move into a circumstance, you walk into Walmart, you see somebody who's hurt your feelings before, and you're intimidated by them, there's an app for that. Always having all-sufficiency of the indwelling Christ there. So you don't ask him to help, oh God, help me, be nice to that person. You start trusting that he is. Lord, thank you right now that your grace is at work in me to love this person. And then what do? Something really complicated. Go love them. Act like it is so, even though it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it's so. That's why they call them acts of faith. You open up the bill, yikes. What do? Like most Christians do, when in trouble or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Start begging God again. Or in that moment, does that come under the category of everything? Always having all sufficiency. You already got it. It's operating in you right now. Thank him for it. Lord, thank you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm not going to sit around and twiddle my thumbs. You may direct me to make some decisions, but I'm going to do it in faith. Thank you for your all-sufficiency, because this is under the category of everything, too. Or let's just say temptation rises up in you. Fear, anxiety, greed, lust, unforgiveness. Does those things come under the category of everything? As each of those things rise up in your emotions or in your thought life, oh God, please help me. No. He's already abounded all grace. So that you always have all sufficiency in everything. So in that moment, what do? Lord, thank you. There's an app for that. And his apps, his expressions of grace, are surpassing anything the enemy may throw at you. All grace. Always having. All sufficiency. So that moment when that stuff rises up in you, Lord, thank you so much for the all-sufficiency of Christ. For this anger, or this fear, or this greed, or this lust, this selfishness. Thank you, Lord, that you're being my victory right now. And I just receive it. The Christians live by faith. Stop believing that he can, hoping that he will. Start trusting that he is, and just receive it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Here's the present tense again. But Christ, who's living in me right now. He's like living in me. He's like living in me, waiting. Just, I'm alive, I'm here, Chuck. I'm living in you. I'm not sleeping. I'm not taking a nap. I'm not sitting on your shoulder. I'm not twiddling my thumbs. I'm not playing games on my phone. I'm living, just waiting to pounce into this situation. All I'm looking for is your faith. I'm living in you right now. And I'm all sufficient for the every things that you face every day in life. So I just don't love her anymore. Wah, wah, wah. You're kidding me. Is that coming in the category of everything, loving this person? Then start thanking him for the grace, his limitless ability to love that person. And then do what? Go act like it's true. And I'm going to tell you what will happen. He'll convert your feelings. Because they're diseased by the fall. We stand on his word and his word alone. When the royal officer came to Christ, says he was begging him to come and heal his son. And Jesus says, today your son is healed. And he said when he heard that, he believed and went off. And then discovered, meeting with some servants on the way, that his son had been healed the day before when the word had been spoken. He went in pleading faith. But when he heard the word that Jesus gave, he left in resting faith. Well, Bishop, I need a word. I just gave it to you. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you. To you. That's the word plural to every one of you. That you always having all sufficiency in everything may abound, jump into, and overflow in everything God puts your hand into. Don't approach anything reluctantly. You have right now, active in you, the all sufficiency of Christ as a free gift. So attack. Attack life. Attack life. Don't shuffle your way through Christianity till you finally arrive to heaven. Run to the battle. Because he's fully equipped you with all that he has to do all that he's called you to do. Amen? That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Because you know what I believe? I believe it's his story. I just wanted to give you that little word because God's going to call you out as a church to be the church. He's going to call you to, among each other, move out in the things of the Spirit more than you've ever done before. Yes. You hear me? Gosh, can I give a word to your church? Sure. So I have a long history here because I know the history here. I start my 20th year as a bishop after April. So I have a long history of the CEC. I'm going to tell you what God's doing among you is that one of the things this church was known for years ago was such pageantry. But I'm going to tell you what this church is going to be known for in the future. A charismatic Episcopal Church who move in and express the fullness of Christ. Now, do I love that? And you've had the best and still here. It's the best stuff. And that's God. You with me? We have that stuff at our church. But I want to see the fullness of Christ expressed. All those things that we do in worship and stuff, those are expressions of our passion. They're outlets, and they're wonderful outlets that draw us into His presence. But we've got to move in the things of the Spirit and be who God's called us to be. And so the Lord's going to call you to become a little uncomfortable. Walking on water is a little uncomfortable. But once you've done it a time or two, it's awesome. And I believe that God has so positioned you in this time in your history where you're now positioned to be everything He ever intended originally fully for this church to be. Not longing for the past, but running towards your future. I said earlier in Sunday school, there's only one person who gets to be comfortable, and that's the Holy Spirit, because He is the comforter. Okay? God wants you to release and practice these things. Start moving in these things that the Scripture says, because it's Scripture. It can be trusted. And there's all sufficiency to walk in that. And I've been here enough now lately, and you'll see it again this morning. It doesn't mean that you have to be wild. Just be wild at heart. You have built-in borders and built-in boundaries. I remember one time, some years ago, I was in Tanzania, and I was gathered with a lot of the bishops, all the bishops in the area, and the Lord spoke a word to me, and I spoke this word to them, and I said, God is going to, there's an earthquake that's going to come. And it's going to be a 6.8 earthquake. And it had been in famine. And I said, on the day there's an earthquake, there's rains are going to come. And it's God saying to you, He wants to do something profound in the nation of Tanzania, or Tanzania. That a move of God's coming. And so He wants to speak to you so it'll happen. That was uncomfortable. That was a little scary. We're not going to do that kind of stuff this morning, though some of you may do that kind of stuff later. You know? Well, the next day, the psalm reading was Psalm 68, and verse 8 says, "The earth shook and quaked, and rains came from the heaven." And that day they had a 6.8 earthquake in the mid-central Tanzania, and the floods came and ended the famine. You go, wow. No, that's just everyday brown bag Christianity. That's the kind of stuff that Jesus does. So it's no big deal when Jesus comes along and gave a word like you got this morning. Faithfulness, thing God's doing. It's not quick, it's just God's working and more stuff He's doing in you. You know, that there's a place of honor that God's called you to. God's honoring your honorable heart. You know? And so I don't know if you've ever been in the position of a judge or worked with judges, but there's a thing in you that's able to, in holiness, judge things in the spirit realm. Like, that's almost like God says, like, your name is honorable, the honorable. He said, well, why, how did you do that? You know, I did it. You know, as Jesus said to one, He said, you know, in one place He said, go your way. It'll be done to you according to your faith. You know how the Christian life is lived? Just do the next thing. It's real mystical. Just go your way. And so as I got closer to Him, I began to hear that word in my head. You know, like honorable. There's something honorable. And so you just risk and go for it. And I bet that bore witness in your heart, didn't it? Yes. Yeah. And it brought exhortation, encouragement, right? Amen. That's better than like, it's not, hearing the sermon's good, but that's even better, right? In some ways, cool? Because it's personal. It's an expression of love. It's how God gives us a kiss and just says this thing. And it's like the Lord, there's no quagmire. God doesn't get in quagmires. He doesn't get in log jams. He just brings pauses sometimes and creates opportunities. And it's like there's this explosion. You're going to come out of this situation that seems kind of stuck, where there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen next. You know, it's kind of to your right and to your left. And the Lord said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So all the ones who have been ministering, all you young people come up, and all my old people come up. And then the young ones from here who helped us yesterday, you come up. Okay? Because what I want to do is to let them minister, because they're really anointed, but be a demonstration to you also, and some of your kids too, who are rocking and rolling in the Spirit. Alrighty? And then I'm going to enroll some of you all. And we're going to help you flow in these things. Because this needs to be a normal part of your walk, of your experience. Oh my gosh, that scares me. Does this come under the category of everything? Scripture says we all may prophesy. So why don't we just go for it and give it a shot? Let's just take it out for a spin. He's trustworthy, don't you think? And I don't think I'm acting too well, do you? And there's some audacious things God put in your heart. You know, but there's a place also that says, I just don't know if I can ever get there. You know, it may be too late to get there. Oh, no, no. There are some things that God's put in your heart that are audacious. And the Lord said, there's no limits to what God's going to do through you. And to dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before. Amen? All right, go for it, guys. Guys and gals, speak loudly. Is the microphone on? Here, Roxanne. Get that nervous look on your face.
I had this for you yesterday, but it's Leviticus 30. Or Jeremiah 30:17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. I believe He is really going to heal you.
What's the word again, Will?
Jeremiah 30:17.
Read it real loud and slow.
But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord.
Which one? Who is that for? Amen. That's awesome. All right, next, Abby. This is Abigail.
I have a word for him.
For him? Which one?
I got this picture in my head when I saw you earlier, and you were like on one side of a cliff, and to get to the other you had to jump, and God was in front of you saying jump because He has your back, and He wants you to know not to hold back from Him and just trust Him.
She saw Him standing a cliff, tell Him to jump, not to hold back, but to jump, to go for it, and because God had His back. So I would trust Him. Who else? Speak up. Oh, good.
All right, Deacon Steve, I have one for you. So, when we were standing here, I just really noticed your socks, which, for the record, everyone, are bright red. Like, bright, bright red. And so when I saw that, it just kept drawing my eyes down to it. But the thing is about socks is you don't see them very much. And so I just feel like there's something in you that God really wants to come out so we can see the red everywhere, and it's just not hiding down here in your socks, because it's there, and it's just something that's going to grow and come out.
Let me add to that, too, in light of what we've been talking about, Bishop Mike. I would just think him taking his role in the prophetic. Because you're all going to have a role. Again, my church, the number one thing about our church, our cathedral, isn't the prophetic. It's Jesus, and it's the fullness of Jesus. We talk about holiness and character, but this is part of what He does. And so we have just gone for it over the years. So it's a normal part of the everyday thing. And that scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 was when you come together. It was in the context of a church service. So you should have prophetic things going on. They're fire starters. They stir people's hearts. It gives people, causes them to want to dare to go after other stuff. Well, you know what? If God can give you a word and it's accurate, that's supernatural. Well, maybe He'll heal this person, because that's supernatural too. And a lot of times those things are connected. Amen? I remember that thing in Brazil. I walked through that first night. We were just greeting people. And we walked through this ladies' meeting. I think I told you that story, but I'm not sure. And they were giving out pieces of chocolate, too. And I would like that, because they gave me a bunch and I left. And I just walked through and it overwhelmed me. I could feel it in my emotions. There was so much depression among those ladies. Some of them were suffering from postpartum depression that had been suffering still for years. I just felt it. We literally just said hello, walked through the room and said, God is healing depression, changing chemical imbalances right now. People started crying and weeping, and we got so many testimonies about how many people got healed, and it happened just like that. See, that's normal Christianity. That's the life that Jesus lives. Go ahead. Speak up, Anna. You have a soft voice like an angel.
For you right here in the leopard print, yeah. We've seen a lot of things happen this weekend, and a lot of great things, I think, have happened to you, too. And I just heard for you that you don't have to be content here, that he has a lot more for you, that you don't have to just stay in this place, even though it's higher, but that he has even further places for you. And I just saw, like, with the leopard print, that you just will go faster and higher.
If Bishop Mike, you wouldn't tell him to leave the church. You meant here in the spirit, not in, we came here and told you, Liz, time for you to leave this right now. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a word for Emily. Yeah, I just noticed, like, out of looking at everyone, you're wearing bright pink, and it just stood out, and just you bring a smile to God's face, and you make him happy and joyful, and you have hearts on your shirt, and it just shows that you have a big heart.
Amen. Who else?
I have a word for you in the black.
Which one?
I just, right here.
Right here?
Right here. Yeah. I just heard teacher, and I think that you have a real call in your life to teach others about God and really just show people who God is and who he really wants you. And that I just heard that God told me to tell you that he just really loves you.
And amen. Heard. Who else? Next, I should say. Anna?
For you in the black and white sweater. Over Nicola? Your head. Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
over your head, I saw now the wind and waves don't matter. And so God wants you to know that he's bringing you into a time where he's just going to be calming the wind and waves.
Amen. Amen. I have a word for you, too, to tag on with that. I just heard the Lord say that you're a leader, but a gatherer, and he is calling you to be fearless in the spirit. And I just see the Lord just releasing you, and as you go forward in the spirit, there's just going to be a flock of others around you. And I just keep hearing what she said. The Lord just said fearless, that you are fearless. He's made you fearless and to stand on it and to go, and just to go for it. There's a brave thing about you to go for it in the spirit.
So, Mikla, do you mind if I aggravate you? Stand up. Come on. Sam, would you partner with Mikla? You guys give a word?
Can I give a word?
Yes, you can start there.
I have a word for you in the back. In the glasses, yes. What's her name?
Audrey.
Okay, Audrey, what I saw for you is just like this hunger and this curiosity. All the stuff that Bishop's been talking about, you've really been seeking out and wanting to know more about it. And I feel like you've looked up to people to kind of lead you into that, and people have kind of left you down, and you've been like waiting, like, who's going to set me out and bring me into this? And God just really awakening that gift in you, and I just hear him affirming that you are good enough and strong enough to walk into that, and everything that he's placed in you to do, everything that he's called you to do, you're already equipped to do, like Bishop was talking about. So I just bless that in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I think one of the key words you just heard was you're good enough. And the Lord really believes in you. Now, is that red hair natural? No, well, that's a sign of your wisdom, that you would put red in your hair, because God loves redheads the best. But also, I just right now, in the name of Jesus, there's just some depression. Enemies just try to oppress and oppress your emotions. And so you're one of the ones, the depression, and you've kind of thought you've been caught in this thing and it's never going to ever get bright again, and the sun's going to shine right now. And I just take authority over this oppression over you, and I break its hold over you in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill her heart with the joy of her salvation. Okay? Amen? So there you saw a prophetic gift lead to a healing. Okay? Amen? Yeah, and I just think, I don't know if there's something going on in your stomach stuff or if that's going to hit you, but I just want you to know that, God, there's healing grace in you about anything like that, okay? Any kind of like ulcer stuff or just stomach stuff, just, you know? Okay, Sam, you and Mikla, team up. Roxanne, I think you're two. Mikla, how old are you now?
27.
Wow, 27. Good Lord, Mike, you must be 112. All right, go for it. Thank, okay. Go with Mikla, and you guys go do a thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a word already? Or do you need a little?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Ask the Lord to give you a picture of an animal. First thing that comes to your mind.
It can be weird.
The thing that comes to mind is an ox. I don't know why.
That's good.
I don't know.
All right. So then, ask the Lord to show you.
What was the animal?
An ox.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's good. What about an ox are you thinking about?
I don't know.
In other words, just describe, when you think about an ox,
I guess,
what do you think about?
I guess the first thing I think of is just like a hard worker, like, you know, that you've just had, like you've done a lot in your life, like you've worked hard, like you've carried like a lot of load like on your back. And, you know, just, you know, that God wants to, like, relieve you of that, like, take some of that, like, burden, I guess.
That's good.
So, Sam, put your hand right here on her chest. Right on her chest, right here. Well, Lord, I just thank you because there's spiritual genetics at work here. And so the anointing on you prophetically, I just release in the name of Jesus. Call it forth in Christ's name. And release you to be free to move, Mikla, to take your place in your generation. We have all kinds of 20-somethings at home who just move in the prophetic. So it's really just as simple as what you... And as you're growing in the prophetic, person words, if you have to do it on your own, look at somebody. You know you have a word for somebody, you just don't know what. You're just pulled. So think of a cereal or a color or a cartoon character or an animal. And then the things that you're thinking about that animal, give that word to them. It'll really be God. Okay. Did you have another one?
Now, I want to confirm to her what you said, because the reason why I said the lady in red, the picture I saw was the Lord said, you've planted a lot of seeds, you've been a planter, and you've carried a lot, and you haven't seen all the fruit from the planting, but you will see the fruit. And that's the same thing you saw in the spirit, just to confirm that what you saw.
Okay. All right, next, young ones.
I'm going to tag on to that because when I saw you, I was waiting patiently to give the word. But I saw you in a garden, and that what Roxanne just said confirmed it, because I saw you on your knees and you were mending and tending to the seeds that you'd planted, and you're going to see the fruit really soon.
Yeah, let me just confirm for Mikla. It was important, that whole thing. What I've watched happen is watching you take your place. That's why I gave the word about leadership. And the Lord said, there's nothing to hold you back. You have to wait for anything. Now's your time to take your place and just the leadership role and the things that you're doing in this body. And part of that's bringing that prophetic anointing. Okay? So one of the things I'm saying to all y'all, we're going to be gone. And so I double dog dare you to risk this, to go for it. Next week, the next week, the next week, the next week, until you become more and more comfortable. Give time for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do, so that this church becomes very comfortable with who's the comforter and what He's allowed to do. Okay? Yes? Sure.
God is going to raise up a crop that you don't even see yet, because because you have said, I will put my hand to the plow. By the strength of the ox, God says, I'm going to plant and grow the crop.
Amen.
Yeah, and I just wanted to confirm that too, what she was saying about the Lord taking that burden off of you. I just saw the Lord kind of taking that load off of you, and you were able to run free and to be free. And I just saw like this ox just kind of like grazing in these fields of the Lord, saying like, you don't have to bear the burden to be the strong, that, you know, like that, like strong as an ox, hard as an ox type thing. Like you're allowed to be free. And just like this gentle, sweet spirit that's just going to come over you because he's doing all the work and you don't have to do it anymore.
Amen. Next.
I have one for the drummer. It was Dan. I just saw you yesterday, and there's just things like in your heart that you just want to do for the Lord, and you want to walk in a lot of this stuff, but then you kind of back up, you know. And here's the word I was hearing for you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that God has made us adequate as servants. His adequacy. And he said, not that we're adequate in ourselves, as anything is coming from ourselves. The Lord says he's already made you adequate. You can walk in everything because that's what he's put in you. And he's calling that forth in you, okay? And for your wife, I just saw the Lord break an egg over your head. And eggs have to do with, like, the promises of God. And somehow, I don't know what it is, but the Lord says, now it's time for his promise to be fulfilled over you.
Amen. So we'll pray for you too before we leave again, okay? But I just pray, Lord, for impartation, that they too would just move forth in the gifts of the Spirit at a higher level, because they always have your sufficiency in everything. No more fear. Stop believing that he can. Stop hoping that he will. Start trusting that he is and act like it. Amen? I just too pray for just your anointing, Lord, to be released. I just, Lord, whatever you put in me, release into these people. Next.
I have kind of a broad word, and I did run it by Father Craig. I just saw, like, all the people in red. I was like, whoa, there's a lot of people in red. And that just reminded me of, like, the burning heart of God. And I just heard that there's going to be a special favor of this church right now, just to grow and prosper in his heart, and especially for the people in red, that it's just going to be a special time of favor for you.
Anna? Other Anna?
For you two, I heard breakthrough for your family. And God says don't worry about the attack of the enemy after this weekend is over, because what's done is done.
Amen. Good word, huh? TC?
I just have two quick things. For you, I just heard the Lord. I just saw you break in free, like just all of a sudden you cross a line and you just break free and you're just running with all your might. I just saw that on you. I bless you. And I don't know what all that means, but I think it means more than one thing.
Come. So you had a word for him, so go for it. I'm not going to give you any starter stuff.
So you're wearing like a greenish sort of shirt, and green is like the earth. So something to do with the earth, that you're going to change something on the earth.
You know, I do believe that God's an anointing on you to bring about change. And God's given you a real brilliant mind, an anointing, and you have a real curious mind also. And the Lord said that you're going to be as strong in your heart as you are in your mind. It's already there. And as he just sort of releases you, there's curiosity. And then my son, my oldest son, I used to say, don't give in to unholy curiosity. And so God says he likes for you to ask questions. But he's going to teach you how to ask the right questions, because he's going to really use you. So don't be afraid to help bring about change. And he's bringing about some change. And you're going to see some confirming miracles and signs. The Lord sees your list, and God says he's going to answer all those things that are on your list. I just see this list, and God says he's going to answer all the things that are on your list, and he's not afraid of the questions, so that's good. You're going to always ask questions. You and the Lord are always going to have interesting conversations. You know, but there is an anointing on you. Sometimes they'll call it a breaker anointing, to help people break through at a place. Okay.
Am I going to be better liked than the average prophet?
Huh? Yeah. Remember my goal in life? If when they bury me on my tombstone, everybody liked him. He was a really nice guy. So, yes.
Okay. At least 51%.
That's right. 51%, that's right. You like me so far, don't you? See, it's possible.
I do.
There you go. See? They don't like people like Bishop Davidson, but they like people like me because he's scary. No, that's not true. No, yeah. And you know what? You have that profound thing in you. You speak your mind, but you're going to be speaking his mind with a heart of humility. Okay? That's the key. But you're going to be speaking his mind. There's a real anointing. Well, can you give her that?
This?
Yeah, so come on. Let's see if they like you. Come with me. I want you to come. Come with me. Father Craig, come on. Let's lend a brother. You're taller than you are when you sit down. Did you know that? Okay, see my brother there? He has an amazing smile. Let's just see if God has a word for him. Okay? What's your favorite sport?
Tennis.
Who's your favorite player?
I'll say...
Djokovic?
Say Sampras.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. So, Craig, you guys will walk there and think about things about Sampras that you like and give him a word. Walk him over there, Father Craig. Yeah, Craig's real safe. Everybody likes Father Craig. Yeah. Anything? Yeah, I think there's a gentle thing on him, and not everybody understands him, and there is this quiet dignity thing that's on him, because that's what he was speaking. Sampras had a lot of dignity. He wasn't a McEnroe, those kind of guys who just were a pain, you know? I'll tell you something about Sampras, and I'll add to this. An amazing serve. That was one of the things. He could hit the ball, serve really, really hard serves. And God, there's a servant's heart in this guy. To serve in love and with gentleness. Anything else you're getting?
Since you asked, he intentionally, at age about 14, you know, he was already one of the best in the world. At age 14 or so, he pretty much destroyed his game in order to go from a two-hand to one-hand backhand. So he invested, took some time off to invest to then kind of roar forward.
Amen. So what would that mean? That God's rearranging some things in you so that you can serve him even better. He's bringing about some change. And there's some things you've been burdened for. And then God's answering your prayer. Be of good cheer. Because everybody doesn't see what you see in the potential and the stuff. And so God's, he had the word, rearranging his game. He's going to be very intentional about it and transform some things that... God's going to do, and the Lord's in the process of doing that. So I just said, just filling your heart with hope and freedom. Can I pray for you about something? Tell me your first name again. Ben. Ben. Yeah. Thanks, Ben. That's awesome. You can go back now. Oh, that's that. Now, do you like what Ben did?
Yeah.
See, there you go. They liked you. Yeah, I just think, Lord, I just think that you're just rearranging some chemistry, healing some stuff right now. On the inside and even on the outside, just some real healing grace being released in you. And just, I just take authority over the assignment of the enemy to bring about despair or hopelessness or depression. And I just command all of it to go now, all anxiety go now. You're going to sleep like a baby. Okay. What was your first name?
Corey.
Corey? Okay. Awesome, Corey.
Can I give a report?
You can give a report.
The couple over there, I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry.
Over here, Dan and Deborah?
Right. They prayed for me last time you guys
were here
for my back issues.
Your back's fine?
I still have days, like probably everybody, that I strain too much. But overall, you have a healing here.
Amen.
Thank you for it.
Do I? Yes.
I'd like to say something to Corey.
Okay.
Several years ago, we were in an adult class here. And you were sitting in almost exactly the same spot. You listed some things that your expectations for your music ministry. I had a picture in my heart that I didn't speak out because I'm so new here. But it was, you have been for us an anchor in your music because we would come and we'd know that we were going to receive, you were going to lead us into the Lord's presence. And so your ministry may not have been sent out the way you expected it, but it has gone out so far that you're not seeing, but it's gone out.
Amen. Anybody? Who else? Next?
We got a bunch of kids.
Bunch of kids? Go for it.
All right, you got to work stuff out.
I have a word for Steven. And I kept thinking of SpongeBob when I kept looking at you, just because, you know, he's always happy and stuff. And I feel like God's going to use you to bring joy and happiness into people's life.
Amen.
It's so weird. We both saw SpongeBob, and
SpongeBob.
I just saw. Are you a good memorizer in school? Yeah, I could say that. I thought of SpongeBob. I thought of a sponge, and you were absorbing God's word.
I've worked for you in the blue. Yesterday when we prayed for you, I just heard God tell me that you're going to really come into a real time of healing and that God's going to do some amazing miracles in your life.
This is for you. And she has a word too.
Archbishop gave me permission to say this earlier, and it's really for the church. Step out of the shadows and into the shadow of the Almighty, for there is where you will find shade. And shade is protection and a covering. May I say something further, though, that I didn't share with you? Yesterday, all I could see was all these boots on these young people. And I wanted to say that you're like boots on the ground. You're an army. And I see it so clearly, and I can see it coming forth in our own young people, because some of them were wearing boots. But I do also see that some of you will go up on the rooftops, and you're the snipers. And maybe some of the ones that are still at home are the snipers. And their job is to take out the enemy. They make a way for you to come through, and some of you will do that so that there is victory in this battle. Boots on the ground.
Amen. Come here, Rox. You got a word? Okay, go for it.
I have a word for you, Helen. I saw your shirt, and it has a tree on it. And so, of course, there's a million tree analogies. Your life is like a tree. And I was thinking, Well, Helen's lived a long time, so you're kind of like an old tree. not very old. It's just you have a lot of branches, and some of the branches are dying, and so you just need to prune the tree to keep it healthy. And so that's what I have.
Be encouraged. Deborah was telling me yesterday we were walking down the aisle. She said, "You kind of remind me like of a movie star." I'm thinking, Paul Newman. You know what I'm saying? Robert Redford. And she said, "You know that guy who like sang children's songs a lot?" I said, "Burl Ives?" And she said, "Yes." I thought, "Oh, well, I'm sorry I asked. Burl Ives." Rox, you got to let, we got a word for this lady right here in red.
In the red?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just see the Lord anchoring your soul. And it says, hope is the anchor of our soul. And the Lord said he's just put a lot of hope inside of you. But the enemy's come in and tried to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Lord said he's restoring hope in your heart. Hope, and so when the enemy comes in, it'll just be like he's coming at you, but just falling off. I just see the Lord putting a bubble around you. And then he says the enemy cannot penetrate what he's done in your heart and what he's done in your soul. And for you not to have fear that he's going to come in and kill, steal, and destroy any longer.
Amen.
That the seeds will not be scattered. That what the Lord is doing is real and it's permanent. And hope is going to anchor your soul.
Amen. Yeah, when Jesus got in the boat, he said, "We're going to go all the way to the other side. You are not going to drown in the middle of the lake."
Amen.
Don't be afraid of that. You're going to go all the way to the other side. And that person, there are a number. You're an intercessor. You pray, and there's a person in particular that your heart is just broken over, and God said he's going to give you that person for the kingdom. Okay? All righty. So we need to slow down, Michael, or we'll be here forever. Here's the thing I just ask you to do. I said this to the Sunday school group. Just promise me this won't be about us coming and doing this. You'll just go with this, right? It's wonderful. You don't have to take this kind of time, but go with this. You are a prophetic people. To sit under Mike Davison, you have to be, but you got to just release. You start here. God's going to do stuff. You know, we have the tapes, some of the protocol you walk in, but don't be afraid. I keep hearing the Lord say, this is the time of the future past. The days of future past. And I think what he's saying is, the past is past. This is a church of the future. And God's given you a glimpse of what your future is supposed to be. You with me? And this church is always, I've mentioned before, had a thing about pageantry. Helena, is she still? There's pageantry. She's the only one really in CC still carries that in her heart with what was originally called to be. That was always meant to usher in something. You with me? And so this little one right here in the middle with duct tape is that God is saying, and this is how the prophetic works. We're no longer duct taping things to keep it together. It's now the time for the future. Right? And I believe that this is your calling to be a charismatic church that exhibits the charismatic with radiant, radical hearts, the full of maturity, responsible. That's what the body of Christ is crying out for. They want to encounter God. They want to go to a place and get healed. You know, my dear, precious friend here, God has been healing her. I mean, you guys know it, but I haven't seen her. I only see her about every 6 months. And she came walking in when she had a hard time getting in the building. She just comes walking in like, oh my goodness. You know, there's this process going on, which is crazy. Awesome. You know, we had a lady, she was in her 80s at the cathedral in Brazil. I think Deborah was standing, Deborah, were you standing next to her? She was on the aisle. Was that you? The lady in Trinity Cathedral. And she's in her 80s. We were praying for people to get healed. And she just got up. It'd been years. And she got up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she got up and started walking around. So, and we're just folks. You know, I'm just, you know, we just are living life and stuff, but I believe what the Bible says. And this is a lot like what Jesus does. You know, we should express and experience the fullness of Christ. So I just ask you, if you want to give me a prize that I'll carry with me throughout eternity, you don't let go. Don't let up. You go for it. You know? Amen? So what we'll do, Michael, we'll just do, you're the guy, but what we'll do, if we can let our team take communion first, and they'll just line up around the walls. And if you need prayer for healing, once you receive Eucharist, is that okay? They can just go to them, and we'll pray for you so we make sure we cover that.
Kaylee was talking about the branches. Well, the branches of a tree are for birds to roost, right? This woman loves birds. She loves singing birds. She teaches them to
sing.
But in addition to that, the idea of the branches is that you invite the little birds in to nest in those branches. Our youth, you're working with the music. You invite us all to come in and nest in your branches. And that's a wonderful thing that you've done.
Amen. And forgive us if we're keeping you late, if you're being late, but we don't get a chance to do this very often with all of y'all. So, okay. All right, man. Here's the one.
Hey, now, if you open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 4, we'll have the sermon now. Y'all left. It's great, huh?